start your day Torah Marsha, Test Teves, Toshin Pei Hei, Rav Shmuel Livshin.
Good morning. A shochet once went to his rav, and he said, I no longer want to be a shochet. There's too much risk involved, too much achrayus. If I do something wrong, then I'm causing people to eat nevelus and treifus. It's just not worth the risk. So the rav looked at him and he said, what are you going to do? So he said, I'm going to go into business. He said, you're going to go into business. You know how many more lavim and isurin and potential pitfalls there are in business? It's much more risky than being a shochet. So having said that, I want to speak about a topic in Choshen Mishpat, dealing with the halachas of money. Very important topic. So there was a story that happened where a couple got engaged, and the parents of the chosin and the kala made a commitment that they're going to buy the new couple a dira. And the father of the chosin didn't have enough money to provide his part of the deal, so he sold his apartment in order to get funds in order to buy a dira for the young couple. Now, whilst he was dealing with a buyer, and the buyer said to him, why are you selling? You know, your dira is in a prime location. Why are you selling? Is there something wrong with the dira? Is there something wrong with the area? So he said, no, I need to sell because, you know, I need the funds to be able to buy an apartment for my son. That's why I'm selling. So he sold his apartment. And then sometime before the chasna, he discovered that the parents of the kala didn't have much money, and they weren't going to be able to fulfill their part of the deal. There's no way they'll be able to provide enough money to buy the couple an apartment. And they didn't even own their own dira, so they couldn't even sell that. That wasn't even an option. So now, he wouldn't be able to afford it himself to pay for an apartment. So now he wanted to go back on the sale of his apartment. He only sold it because he wanted to buy them a dira, and now he can't, so he wants his apartment back. Is he allowed to be mevatel the mekach, even though he had done a kinyan and he had sold it? Is he able to be mevatel the mekach and get his apartment back? And that leads us to a topic called umdana. Umdana is when the circumstances, even if a person doesn't make a condition, a person does a sale and he doesn't make a condition, but the circumstances are obvious and it's implied what's going on and what his intentions are. So we'll see what options this person has in his story. So let's just go through a few different Gemaras, and I hope we'll come back and try and see what halach would be.
Did the person buying the flat in Manchester know the apartment, know that this was why he was selling it?
He asked him at the time to say why he's selling. He said, I'm selling because I need the money to be able to buy an apartment for my son. Yeah. So, first of all, so there's different levels of umdana. There's certain cases where it's so obvious what's going on that you don't even need to speak out at the time why you're doing it. In certain cases, you do. So let's go to the most extreme level where it's obvious without having said anything why you're doing what you're doing. So there's a case where a person, he only had one son, and this son went to, he went abroad. And then he heard that his son had died, unfortunately. So he got up and he gave all of his property, all of his assets, everything he owned to somebody as a present. Gave it as a matana. And then, turned out that it was fake news. His son never died. So the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kufmen Vav Amud Beis, says that the matana that he gave to the other person is bottle. He can get all of his property back. Even though he never made any condition at the time of sale, and he never even said anything at the time of sale, at the time he was giving it away. He never explained why he was giving it away. It's so obvious. A person doesn't just give away everything he owns. It's only because he and leave nothing for his son. It's only because he thought that his son was no longer alive. That was why he did that. And as soon as he's now discovered that his son was actually alive, he can get everything back. Because that's called an umdana. The circumstances are obvious as what's going through his mind. It's as if he made... Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's one Gemara. And there's another Gemara in Ksubas, Ayin Tes, where there was a woman was getting married. And the halacha is that any assets that a woman owns and she takes into a marriage becomes nichsei melug, which means that the husband has control over them. He's oichel peiros, he gets the he gets usage of those assets. And if she dies, then the husband is yorisha. Now this woman didn't want her husband to have control over her assets, and she didn't want, in case she dies first, she didn't want that her husband should be yorisha. So before the marriage, she signed over all of her assets to somebody else. She gave it all away, everything, absolutely everything she owned, to somebody else. So the Gemara says, if she then gets divorced, or if her husband dies, then she can get all of her property back. Because it's clear that the reason why she gave everything away is to try and keep it away from her husband. Mavreches, she was trying to keep it away from her husband. And now that she's no longer married, because her husband died, then she can get everything back. That's another example of an umdana. And these Gemaras are paskened in Shulchan Aruch. But this is a very interesting case, because in the eventuality that she dies first, so then the matana that she gave to this other person is a good matana. The husband doesn't get it. The person she gave it to keeps it. Whereas if he dies first, then she can say, well, this matana, I only gave it to keep away from my husband, and that's not an ageya anymore, so I can get it back. It's a bit of a in-between case. And one of the explanations how it works is it's as if she gave it al-tanai. The umdana, the circumstances, tell us it's as if she's given a condition. She gave it to this person. It's almost like she said to him, if I die first, then I want this to be a present to you. And if my husband dies first, then I want to be able to get it back. It's like she made a condition in the gift. And there's another Gemara in Bava Metzia, where there was a man, he bought many barrels of wine, and he needed somewhere to store them. He heard that there was a lady that had a storage space. So he went to her, and he asked her, can I rent your space to keep my barrels of wine? She said, no, I don't want to rent it to you. So he was Mekadisha. And then she allowed him to store all of his barrels of wine on her property. Once he had moved all his barrels of wine to her property, he sent her a get. A lovely guy. So she hired some workers. She paid them using the wine. And the workers came and they took all the barrels of wine out of her property and dumped them on the street. So the Gemara says, Gemula Yoshev Baroishoy, that he got what he deserved. She was perfectly right for doing that. And then Rukh Yosef explains that that's only true in this case. Normally, if you rent something to somebody, or even if you lend something to somebody, and then you fall out with a fellow, you're not able to then say, okay, you know, I want to get out of my property, stop using my property. You're not able to do that. He has a kinyan. You agreed on a certain time that he's renting it for, and you can't just kick him out in the middle of that term just because you've fallen out with him. Just in this case, it's so blatantly obvious why she agreed to let him use her property to store these barrels is because he was Mekadisha, and now that he was Megarisha, then she's not interested. And even though she never spoke that out, that the reason why I'm letting you do this is for this reason, it doesn't matter. It's just so obvious. The umdana is so strong that she's able to then kick him out. So then let's go on to the next level now. The next level is where the circumstances aren't so clear. So we'll say an example. So the Gemara in Kedushin, Mem Tes, says a person sold his house. He was going to move to Eretz Yisrael. And he told the buyer, the reason why I'm selling my house is because I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael. He told him at the time of sale. So the Gemara's case is actually where he never said anything at the time of sale. And the Gemara says it's called Devarim Shebelev Einam Devarim. He might have had it in his mind, the reason why I'm selling is because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. But it was in his heart, and he never spoke it out. So even if he doesn't end up going to Eretz Yisrael now, the sale's a good sale. But all the Rishonim say that you see, the Gemara is speaking out that the reason why he can't be Mevatel the sale is because he never said anything. But if he would have said at the time of sale that the reason why I'm selling is because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, then he will be able to get his house back. Even though the sale was finished, he will be able to get his house back if he's not able to go to Eretz Yisrael. So this is a case where the circumstances aren't so clear on their own, because people sell houses for many reasons, but there's two parts to it. Number one, selling a house is a rare thing, meaning people only sell a house if they need the money for something. So the circumstances themselves, the circumstances itself shows us in a way that he must have a purpose for selling this house. Plus, together, the fact that he explained at the time of sale, I'm selling because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Both of those things together create a strong enough umdana to tell us that if he doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael, then he wants the sale to be void.
That's very similar to your case.
Yes. So we're getting there. Now, this is only true. There's a few limitations to this halacha. This is all brought in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Zayin, Sif Gimel. So, first of all, he can only void the sale if an onus happens. He can't just say, I sold it, I told you, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, that's why I'm selling my house, now I've changed my mind. I want to be Mevatel the Mekach. That he can't do. It has to be there's some unforeseen circumstances that happened, and that, let's say, the house that he had lined up in Eretz Yisrael fell through. He wasn't able to buy that house. Or the job that he had in Eretz Yisrael fell through. It has to be something that a change, an oinus, something new that's happened. And that's a good reason to then be Mevatel the Mekach. But just stamp to change his mind, that wouldn't be good enough. So there's the case, the post can talk about a case where a person sold his house in order to buy a bigger house. He wanted to buy a bigger house, and he told the buyer at the time that he was selling it, I'm selling because I found a very good mitzvah, it's a much bigger house, it's at a price that I can afford, it's very rare to find such a thing, that's why I'm selling. And he sold his house. And then the new house he wanted to move to burnt down. So that was a new thing. So a lot of posts can say that he's able to get his house back. There's a clear umdana why he sold his house. He's able to get it back. But a very important limitation is that it has to be that he explained why he's selling it at the time of sale. If he, let's say, he speaks with the buyer, he has a few different meetings with him and they negotiate. At the very beginning of the whole process, he says, I'm selling because I want to buy a bigger house. Or I'm selling because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. But then only much later, days later, weeks later, they finally go through with the sale. That would not be good enough. It has to be that he explained the reason of a sale at the time of sale. Now that probably makes it quite hard, practically, nowadays, to have such a case that at the time of sale, you have a conversation between the buyer and the seller, and he's again saying why he's selling. That probably makes it a bit rare.
If I says that buy this house, a bigger house, and that he knows it's going to fall through, he fell through that, similar. I'm going to buy the house, big house.
Yeah.
He mentioned that house exactly, and he knew the fire in that house, and it's right?
If at the time that he sold it, he wants to be chosen and get his house back.
Yeah.
So if at the time he sold it, he told the buyer the reason why he was selling it, then a lot of folks would say that he's able to get his house back.
Was
yeah.
Actually paid for it and
moved in already, paid, Kenyan,
Kenyan.
I don't want to sell it because my plans have fallen through. Paid him in full.
The guy's moved in.
Done a Kenyan, even if the guy's moved in. There's no time limit. There's no time limit to it. It could be any amount of time afterwards. However, if the seller has already used that money, so let's say, for example, he said, I'm selling my house to buy a big house. And he bought the bigger house. And he moved into the bigger house. And then the bigger house burnt down. So then, because he's already used the money from the sale, then he can't go back on it. Some people say the reason is because Mazlecha Goyrim. You've already done what you wanted. Now anything that happens, that's your problem. That's not the buyer's problem. So once you've started using the money, then it's too late. But if he's not yet used the money, yeah, there's no time limit.
Even if the house starts 3 months later, but it can't go back, but the deposit you used from that original money, then you can't go back.
If he's used the money for the new house.
Part of that money is used for the deposit for the new house, and the same falls through.
If he's only used part of the money, I don't know, that's a good question. I don't know. I haven't come across using part of the money.
Yeah. If the deal back on the sale, who pays the legal fees?
Oh, so very good. So who pays? So the Mausham. Right, somebody's going to have a big bill, an unnecessary bill at the end of all this. So the Mausham says that the seller has to pay all the any monetary loss the buyer had, the seller has to pay for it. He says it's Medina de Garmi, and he's marik about it. But yeah, he says he'll have to, the seller that wants to be Mevatel Mekach and get his house back will have to pay any losses that the buyer had. Yeah. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan says that this whole sugya only applies to residential buying, not to business. It says when a person's doing business and he's selling for business, so he says that people take risks in business and they accept to take risks, and this wouldn't apply. This is only when a person's selling his residential house. That itself, the person selling his own house he's living in, that creates a strong umdana that I'm selling for a reason, I need the money. The person's not going to leave himself homeless.
He sold it on and go back to the third party.
Yeah. It's not how we would have thought. So now this is, so far we've only spoken about selling karka, selling land. When it comes to selling metaltalin, then it's a different story. Selling items, movable items. So the Ramah paskens that when you're selling metaltalin, there is no umdana. There is no umdana when it comes to selling metaltalin. Reason being, like I said, that when you're selling a house that you live in, then that already creates a strong umdana. But selling metaltalin, selling movable items, there could be any reason why you're selling it. It doesn't create a strong enough umdana to be mevatel mekach. Now, a lot of poskim say that metaltalin is actually a sofik. Not so clear cut to say there's no umdana with metaltalin. And the halach, what do you do when there's a sofik? The halach is to go with a muchzik. Whoever's muchzuk. So the Chasam Sofer has a case where a person he sold all his silverware because he wanted to buy equipment to distill whiskey. And he'd said to the buyer that I'm selling because I want to buy this equipment. Now the seller, the buyer paid for the silverware, but he didn't yet take it home. And then the brother of the seller was Nifta, and left as an inheritance to his brother all the equipment he needed to distill whiskey. So the seller said, right, I don't want to go through with the sale of my silverware. I want my silverware back. I don't need the money anymore. So the Chasam Sofer says, well, first of all, the only kinyan was money, kesef. So kesef isn't really koina. Just if a person wants to back out after they've done a kinyan kesef, then there's Misha Para, they get a curse, which may or may not apply in this case. But the Chasam Sofer says that since it's a sofik, that maybe you could claim an umdana, and he's still holding the silverware, he can say that I'm muchzuk, and there's an umdana that I only sold it for this reason no longer applies, so we're voiding the sale. And you have to give me my money back. And I'll have to give you your money back.
The brother.
The brother was Nifta, and the person that sold the silverware inherited everything, all the equipment he needed. So now he wants to void the sale of the silverware. So he can be mevatel that mekach.
There was no kinyan.
Not only because there's no kinyan. There was no kinyan. There's two reasons. That in that case, it happens to be there's no kinyan. But he says, even if there would be a kinyan, even if there would be a kinyan, because it's a sofik, and you're muchzuk, because you're still holding the silverware, if he would have already given over the silverware, so then the buyer is muchzuk. Then the buyer can say, well, maybe there's no umdana here, because it's a sofik. But since the seller's still holding on to it, and he's muchzuk, so he can void the sale.
His brother who was Nifta, presumably had no children, otherwise he had no
Yerusha. Yeah, correct. So how does the Sophic Umdana work? It needs a bit of understanding, because the whole concept of Umdana is that things are so clear that we can then void the sale. But if you've got a Sophic, the person can say there's a Sophic when it comes to Metaltadin. Is there an Umdana or not? So surely by definition, that means there's no Umdana. If things aren't clear, we don't know, then by definition that shouldn't be an Umdana. So the Chasam Sofer explains very nicely that we can't really decide ourselves when there's an Umdana and when there's not an Umdana. Chazal told us certain cases there's an Umdana. We're not so in touch and in tune with when things are clear and when not. So we have to go with what Chazal tell us. And we're not sure whether Chazal told us about selling a house, that there is an Umdana and you can be Mevatel the Mekach. But we're not sure if they said the same thing with Metaltalin. So there may be an Umdana here that without us realizing it, that's how it's possible to have a Sophic Umdana. So right, so till now we spoke about selling Kaka, selling Metaltalin. So what about buying? Right, every case is different. So when it comes to buying, the tables have turned a little bit. There's a case, the Torah in Reish Lamed brings a case, a person bought barrels of wine in order to take them to another place and sell them. And a lot of, it's machlokas, what happened, he bought the barrels of wine to take them to another place to sell them, and the price of wine went down, and he'll no longer be able to make a profit. So he comes back to the seller, and he says, I want to be Mevatel the Mekach. I want, here's your barrels of wine. I want my money back. I told you at the time I was buying them. The reason why I'm buying them is because I want to go and sell them there. And I can no longer make a profit by selling them there. So I want my money back.
That's commercial transaction you mentioned.
Yes, that is commercial. So, yes, I have to work out how the Aruch HaShulchan will understand that. Correct. But I think what he said, he came a long time after these. This is really Machlokes we're showing him, this case, whether you can be Vassal Mekach. I think that, as far as I remember, the Aruch HaShulchan was only speaking about in one of those opinions. But we'll see. There definitely are opinions that even with commercial, you would say this. So it's Machlokes. Over there, there's Machlokes we're showing him. Rabbeinu Chananel and Rabbeinu Yoina. And a lot of Poiskim, the Drisha and Pischei Tshuva, and some cases in the Sivas, say that when buying Metaltalin, that you would be able to say, claim Umdana, and be Mevatel the Mekach. There are a lot of places that say that. So the Shaar Ephraim had a case where somebody bought an item, and he told the seller, I'm buying it for Ploini Almoini. And he does a Kinyan, but he's not yet paid for it. He's done a proper Kinyan, taken ownership, and he goes to Ploini Almoini, and Ploini says, I don't want it. Change my mind, I don't want it. So the Shaar Ephraim says that he can say there's an Umdana. That I told the seller, I'm only buying this because Ploini wants it. And now Ploini tells me he doesn't want it. So I want to be Mevatel Mekach. Shaar Ephraim says he can. But in that case, because he's not yet paid. He hasn't yet paid, so he's Muchzuk. As long as he's Muchzuk, he'll be able to avoid the sale and he can give the item back. So that it could be a practical case where this might happen is, let's say a couple gets engaged and the chosen buys a piece of jewellery and he tells the seller, I'm buying it for the kala, and let's say the engagement gets called off. Would he be able to then be Mevatel the Mekach? Potentially, he might have strong grounds to say there's an umdana here why I bought it, the reason it fell through. I want to be Mevatel the Mekach.
Is he paid for it?
So it depends. So if he's not paid for it, then he's definitely got strong grounds to be about it, even though he's done a Kinyan. Even though he's done a Kinyan. Did Mashiach, Hagbar, whatever it was. And now, so that's buying Metaltalin. Now, buying Karka is the other extreme. So first of all, there's a Nesivus. The Nesivus says the case where a person was moving from Yerushalayim to Sfas, and he bought a house in Sfas. His plans to move to Sfas didn't work out. So Nesiva says he can be Mevatel the sale of the house in Sfas, and he can get his money back. We do say an Umdana when it comes to buying Karka. That's what Nesiva says. But a lot of Poiskim disagree. And he say when it comes to buying, it's the other way around. And buying Karka, there is no Umdana. The Chasam Sofer and the Pischei Tshuva, they both say that when it comes to buying Karka, there's no Umdana. And then Nesiva is the only one I've saw so far that says when it comes to buying Karka, you would say an Umdana. So the Chasam Sofer says a story, very interesting story. There was people bought membership in a Kehillah, And part of being a member of this killer meant that you got a kever, you got a burial plot. And then sometime later, the Chevra Kedisha started charging fees to bury people. So certain members of the Kehillah, they said, okay, we want out. We want our money back. We want to cancel our membership. We only became members here because we thought we would get a burial plot. We're not interested in paying extra fees, so we want our money back. But an umdana, we want our money back. So what would people say in this case? What would be the halacha? So the Chasam Sofer says... Sorry? Right, okay. So why is it not umdana muchach? Because they didn't say when they took out the membership that it's only because we're getting a kever with it, missing that vital component that they never spoke out, number one. Another reason is it's buying karka. They were buying a kever. Buying karka, most people can say, that you don't say an umdana. And a third reason he gives is because they've already used the services of being a kehillah. It's not just the kever, there's other services, and they've already started using it. Once you've started using what you've bought, then you can no longer say umdana, like we said earlier. So now, going back to the original case of this, of the fellow that sold his house to buy a dira for his son, and then he's not able to. So at first glance, you would say that he's selling a house, and he explained at the time of sale why he was selling the house. So that's exactly like the Gemara of selling a house to go to Eretz Yisrael, then it should be bottle. So here, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein says that no, because we said earlier, there has to be an unforeseen circumstance. Something new has happened, there's been an oinus, and that's why you want to go back on the sale. Whereas here, it's not something new. He could have made inquiries at the time he was selling his house. He could have made inquiries. Can the other side fulfill what they said they can do? Can they afford it? He could have taken precautions and found that out. And he could have found out that they don't have much money, they don't own their own house. They should have looked into it, and it's not considered an oinus. So in that case, Zilberstein says you're not able to go back on the sale. It's as if he lost himself. He says, it's as if you were moichel. If you really were selling it for this reason, and you could have verified that you're able to follow through with that, so you weren't really makbid on it. That's not really the reason, because you could have looked into it to make sure you could have followed through with your plans. But you didn't, so it's almost as if you're moichel it.
Oh, I find that very hard. I mean, he sold, firstly, the other side obviously said that they're going to support him. Secondly, he sold his house, which was a very unusual thing to do,
yeah,
in order to create a capital asset for him to be able to,
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, but he should have made these inquiries. If he was really makpid, that if it falls through, he never would have sold his house if he wouldn't be able to buy the dira, then at the time he should have made sure he'd be able to buy this dira. And it was within his hands to ensure that. And he didn't ensure that, then it can't be that he's so makpid, I'm only selling for this reason. Meaning, in order to be mevatel mekach, it has to be 100% watertight. There can't be any doubt. As soon as there's any amount of doubt, then you can't be mevatel the sale, because it was a proper sale. So as soon as it's not watertight, and you've got some type of something a bit of a grey area here, like, you know, if that's really the only reason you're selling, so why didn't you make sure that you could follow through? And it was in your hands to make sure that you could follow through, so then we can't be mevatel mekach. It has to be 100% clear to be mevatel mekach. And the Divrei Malkiel has another case. There was a Rav, and he wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. So he sold his position, his job, as a Rav to somebody else for 600 ruch. And then he realized later he's actually got a choiv. He owes somebody 600 ruch. So now his wife doesn't want to move to Eretz Yisrael, because they were planning on living off that 600 ruch. And now his wife doesn't want to go. They're not going to have a panosa. They have to pay the choiv before they go. They're not going to have any panosa, so she doesn't want to go. So can the Rav get his job back? He sold it. Can he be mevatel mekach as an umdana? He told the other Rav, I'm only selling it because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. That's why I'm selling it. So can he be mevatel it now and say, well, I'm not going. My wife doesn't want to go. So
sure.
I want to be mevatel it.
Should have made sure his wife.
Uh-huh, okay. Okay. So, right, okay, right, very good.
She might not know.
So she claims she didn't know.
Oh,
She claims she didn't know that there was a chayiv. So he quotes a chacham echad. He doesn't say who. That says that this is a case of selling metaltalin. We look at this like it's metaltalin, and we said selling metaltalin is a sofik, but the rov's muchzik. He's still got his position. He's not left yet, so he's still muchzik in his job as a rov. Plus, it's muchach because it's his panosa. A person wouldn't be selling his panosa and leaving himself with no panosa. It must be he had a good reason. And he explained at the time. And he says, this rav that has been quoted, he says, it's considered a new thing. Because the wife didn't realize that was debt. That he considers to be a new thing. The wife didn't realize. Even though obviously maybe the rav realized, but his wife didn't. So the Divrei Malkiel, he agrees with the Psak that you can be Mevatel Nekach, but Lav Mitame, different reasons. He says, first of all, we consider it like it's selling Karaka, so it's even better, definitely Nomdana. But even if, this is a very interesting point he makes, he says, even if his wife would have stam changed her mind, nothing to do with discovering that there was a Choyv, she stam changed her mind, she doesn't want to go, then from the perspective of the husband, that's a new thing. He was the one making the sale. So from his perspective, this is now an onus. He can't force his wife to go to Eretz Yisrael if she doesn't want to go. Divrei Malkiel says he can't.
She's a meredith.
Are you sure you can to go to Eretz Yisrael?
Isn't she a meredith on that power?
You can
divorce her if you want.
To go, yeah, it has to be a good reason. It has to be a good reason. No, not for everything. Not for everything. Not for everything. You force your wife to Divrei Malkiel. Yeah, where does that say that? Where does it say that? You're able to force your wife. Okay, the Divrei Malkiel. He brings Mara Makomas. You're not able to force your wife. Yeah. So, but he says, Mice, in that case, he says it would be better. They should make a chayrim. They should make a chayrim that they're not doing some type of swindle. And that it was legitimate that Shitaka didn't know there was a choiv. That even she didn't know there was a choiv. He doesn't want to rely on this svara itself. And he says, I should make a chayrim that she didn't know about the choiv and that it was unforeseen. And then you can be mevatel mekach. But then he says, anyway, what's going on here? Who says that this rav can sell the job? You need to ask the kehillah if they agree to take on this new rav. You can't just sell the job to somebody else. Okay, go ahead. Thank you.